When I was a teenager, music was everything to me. I always thought, always hoped, that I would be a professional musician, that I would write songs and play shows for a living. I thought that music was my ultimate, even my final calling. But I was wrong. When you begin to transition from adolescence to adulthood, reality sets in. The obligations of life and the desire to live somewhat comfortably start to take precedence. These things become pressing. They begin to weigh on you. You want to make art. You want to write a song that will move people, that will leave the world breathless, that will shake the earth. But you have to eat. Such is the life of the starving artist. The practicalities of the world have a way of smothering the flames of inspiration, the embers of which still burn deep within your soul, in your aching bones, but more as a pain of the past, a past now as distant as a dream, than as a guiding light leading the way towards the future. A future that is suddenly as ambiguous as something unseen. I guess the bright lights were never meant for us. I guess the bright lights were never meant for us. When I was in my 20s, knowledge was everything to me. I was obsessed with learning, obsessed with ideas, obsessed with solving puzzles and cracking codes. I thought that I would become a professor, that I would teach what I loved for a living. For a time, I believed that education or the academy was my ultimate, even my final calling. And I was dead wrong. What you hold in your hand, what you clench and grasp onto too tightly, shatters and falls apart in the end, slipping through the cracks between your helpless fingers. The obsessions of a curious and inquiring mind have a way of squeezing the life out of what you love the most. They rob your studies of their joy. They steal the wonder from your research. Such is the life of the obsessive learner. For the knowledge that you possess ends up possessing you, haunted by ideas that were never meant to be held captive in your mind. Ideas that still frighten and startle you, that still wake you up at night. The things you want so badly become too heavy to hold. The things you want so badly become too heavy to hold. When I was in my 30s, Christian hospitality was everything to me. I thought that I would build vibrant and life-giving communities, a network of house churches that would spread like wildfire across the various neighborhoods in my town, like a city on a hill, lighting up the world, bringing hope to a despairing and dispirited generation. For a while, I believed that building Christ-centered communities through the power of a shared meal and the warmth of a loving home was my ultimate, even my final, calling. But I was mistaken. I was trying to build something meaningful, something beautiful, but little did I realize that God was trying to shape and form me. I was trying to teach people who were willing to listen and willing to learn. But God had truths that He was trying to teach me. Was I listening? Was I learning? Such is the life of the consummate builder. You get so lost in your work, in your new projects, in your innovative creations, that you forget that you need work. that you are a work in progress as well. You think you are going to change the world, but God is mostly focused on changing you. You think you're going to change the world, but God is focused on changing you. Everything about this podcast was predetermined and preordained. Every event, every detail, every minutia was carefully arranged and delicately orchestrated by God. It was the expression of divine sovereignty and divine providence. At the time of its conception, the thought of it had never crossed my mind. Producing a podcast wasn't something that I had ever considered doing, yet it fit me like a glove. It made sense of my history, my story. It brought together, in seemingly perfect harmony, all of my giftings and strengths and passions. It combined my love of music and the spoken word with my love of knowledge and the written word, with my love of construction and the prophetic word. I truly believed that this was what I was created for. This is what I was put on this earth to do. I thought I had found my ultimate, even my final calling. But I was misguided once again. Prophets have a tendency to think that the words that they have been given to deliver are the very words that the world needs to hear. Prophets have a tendency to think that their voices must be heard, for the voice of the prophet is the only hope that the world really has. Prophets have a tendency to think that they're needed, but they're not. God doesn't need me. I need God. But such is the life of the suffering prophet. Ignored and disregarded, swept away and tossed aside by a people that you thought you were called to save. But who's going to save me? What is a prophet to do when his words fall on deaf ears? What is a prophet to do when he has lost the only thing that he has? His voice. It's hard to say goodbye when you're not ready to walk away. It's hard to say goodbye when you're not ready to walk away. My wife and I went to the theater and saw Oppenheimer the other day. Movies like that, about people like that, always resonate with me. Partly because I feel like I'm looking in the mirror. Like I'm watching myself on the screen. I've always been lost in my thoughts, lost in my head, lost in another world, the world of theories and abstractions. I'm a big thinker, obsessed with big ideas. So was Oppenheimer. Like him, I've always felt like a foreigner, even a prisoner in this world. Encumbered by the mundane obligations of everyday life, the banal responsibilities of the modern man, enslaved, held back by pragmatism. For the thinker, these practicalities are obstacles to be overcome. They're annoyances of a concrete world that simply won't die. They're the bane of my existence. I don't belong here. I don't know what to do in this place. I don't know how to live in this world. I'm a fish out of water, a shark on dry land, an old soul lost at sea. Who will remember me? I'm a hot air balloon destined for the sky, destined for the heavens. But the material world, the world of objects, keeps dragging me down to the abyss. I feel lost. I feel alone. The prosaic is such a bore, such a trap, a penitentiary. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. I want to think. I want to reflect. I want to dream. Oppenheimer felt the same way. Like him, every time a new prospect arises in my life, I attach myself to it. I embrace it with my whole heart. I try to nurture it and cultivate it and care for it. I protect it with my life. I build a world around it. Not unlike Oppenheimer's settlement in the sands of New Mexico. The new endeavor quickly becomes my Los Alamos, my safe haven, my slice of heaven, a place where I can be myself and do what I love, away from the pragmatic encumberments of the modern world. But Oppenheimer's dream didn't last, and neither of mine. His utopia in the desert came to an end, like all do. Such is the life of the restless thinker, the endless dreamer, troubled by lucid dreams that have since turned into nightmares. We think that what has come to life will always be. We believe that we can craft a nice existence around it, with visions of white picket fences and two-car garages and freshly cut grass. We assume that the home that we have built for ourselves will be our forever home, but we assumed wrong. Julius Robert Oppenheimer, the gullible idealist, the naive dreamer, was wrong. Ryan Ragazine, the gullible idealist, the naive dreamer, was wrong. The thinker thinks that she can divorce herself from the world of practicalities and obligations. But the world has a way of calling you back, of pulling you back to the harsh realities of life. The grass withers and flowers fall, but we are so stubbornly holding on to it all. The grass withers and flowers fall, but we're so stubbornly holding on to it all. Today's episode is my last episode, at least for the foreseeable future. I relaunched this podcast almost exactly 2 years ago. I'm very proud of it. I've said many things and shared many ideas on this podcast, and I still have so much more to say and share, but it will have to be on a different day and in a different way. The gambler Kenny Rogers once famously said, "You've got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run." Every farmer plants a garden with a clear purpose and goal in mind. Every farmer plants a garden with the intention to reap a harvest. If you spend your entire spring and summer building a garden, with everything that such an undertaking entails, and at the end of the season it yields you an onion, a potato, two tomatoes, and a small bundle of cilantro, you might begin to question whether it was all worth it. In life, whenever you do something worthwhile, there needs to be some semblance of equality or reciprocity between what you're putting into that thing and what you're getting out of it. There needs to be some level of evenness or proportionality between your work and your yield. The seed that you sow should never outweigh the produce that you harvest. What is true in the world of gardening is true in the world of podcasting. If there is great disproportion between your work, the time, energy, resources, and money that you are expending, and your yield, the growth, impact, engagement, and revenue that you're seeing, such that what you are receiving doesn't come close to matching what you are giving, then it might be time to reconsider this thing. The podcast might not be worth all the blood, sweat, and tears that you're pouring into it. A barren grain field loses its utility and purpose. An infertile olive grove is probably better off dying in the end, so that it can be repurposed for something new. A stagnant podcast, like a suffering animal, might need to be put out of its misery. What is fruitless must make way for what is fruitful. The garden will never grow if you don't let it die. I will never grow if I don't let it die. May new life sprout forth from the rocky ground. May new crops spring forth from this lifeless soil. Recently, I've been watching through the hit series Mad Men. I never watched it before until now. If you don't know, it's a show that centers on a group of advertising executives in New York City who either fight to advance their careers or fight to stay on top of the corporate ladder in a volatile but often romanticized era in our nation's past. One not lacking in both madness and misogyny. There is a theme that runs through the show, a theme that defines almost every great show, a theme that is personified in almost every great character, a thread that is woven into the very fabric of the human condition itself that I want to bring into the light for a second. Human beings have a propensity to make their lives all about what they do, instead of making their lives about who they are. We tend to conflate our identities with, to ground our self-esteem and self-worth in, and to reduce the meaning, purpose, and value of our lives to what we do for a living, rather than who we are as moral beings. Beings created in the very image of God. You wrap your entire universe around your job, your career, your occupation, your vocation, your perceived calling, and you lose yourself in the process. If I center my whole existence on what I do, on what I produce, on my work, I may very well gain the whole world, but at what cost? What is the whole world still worth when I forfeited the only thing that has any inherent worth? The only thing that I will take with me when I die? The only thing that matters in the end? We think that everything in life revolves around what we do. Our work, our hobbies, our passions. And we forget about who we were designed to be and who we were destined to become. When you finally achieve all that you want to achieve in this mad, mad world, you will be no more. All that remains are fleeting accomplishments without an enduring essence, perishing accolades without consummated being, a pseudonym, an alias, Don Draper, without a true identity and a real existence. History without eternity, a rotting corpse without a soul, for you traded it away for something that lacks concreteness and that lacks permanence. After a while, I stopped looking at the analytics. My heart couldn't take it anymore. The continual disappointment, the perpetual feeling of failure, the constant reminder of how unimpactful this project was. It was all too much to bear. I hated when people would ask about it. But I also grew resentful when people didn't ask about it. Oh, the duality of man, a nature defined by ambivalence. I hated when people would ask about it because I knew I couldn't give people the answers that they wanted to hear. I knew I couldn't speak the only language that our world understands, the language of success, a language of numbers and metrics and progress reports and graphs. I grew bitter when people didn't ask about it because the silence just reminded me of how inconsequential my life's work was. A life of obscurity is a lonely life to live, and it's the only one that I've ever known. A few months ago, however, I realized something, and it completely changed my perspective and my trajectory. I was grounding my understanding of success, and with success, my sense of satisfaction and self-worth, in what I couldn't control, rather than in one of the few things in life that I could control. Who I was, and who I was becoming. I realized that this podcast was never really about other people, nor was it about what I produced and what I accomplished. All this time, it was just about me. I was so fixated on growing an audience and building a platform that I lost sight of the thing that God cares about most. My growth and development as a person. Again, God cares more about cultivating character and building virtue than He does about cultivating a listenership and building a brand. A shift had occurred. A weight was lifted. All of a sudden, my reasoning for ignoring the analytics wasn't because crunching the numbers was too painful, but because I didn't really care anymore. I started to do a bunch of podcasts on ethics and the good life, because I was starting to recognize that being and becoming are far more important than doing and producing. God was trying to teach me something that I'm still trying to learn and put into practice. God wanted me to become a saint, not a legend. He wanted me to choose character over reputation, personal formation over worldly acclaim, and transformation in the likeness of God in Christ over likes, shares, subs, and follows. He wanted me to understand that faithfulness is far more important than success. He knew I needed to accept that sometimes being a success in the eyes of God means being a failure in this world. That to be faithful to God in the face of failure is to be a success in the eyes of my Creator. I think God wants me to become a person who is happy and content with nothing, so that I might live the rest of my days like I have everything. I think God wants me to be more concerned with the amount of love that is in my heart than the amount of money that is in my bank account. More concerned with the position of my soul than the ranking of my podcast. More concerned with my standing with Him than my standing in this world. More concerned with communion with Christ than rubbing shoulders with societal elites. Industriousness and productivity will only carry you so far. Justice and mercy will raise you to eternity. I can't sit here and pretend that I have completely learned the lesson that God was trying to teach me, or that I've succeeded at consistently implementing this lesson into my daily life. Just because I've heard the word doesn't mean that I fully heeded it. I wish I could tell you that I've arrived, that I have obtained the goal and have attained the prize, but I haven't yet. I can't say in good conscience that I've become what God wants me to become, because that would be a lie. I'm still a creature in time, a being in process, just like you. I can say this though, I've learned enough and I've become enough that I'm willing to let this podcast go, to let it die. I can also tell you this, I want to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach me. I want to become the person that God wants me to become. I'm trying to be the shepherd, and I know that this is only possible in Him. It has always been in Him, in Christ, in that beautiful name, the name above all other names, the name of Jesus. Every blessing that I've received, every miracle that I've experienced, every answered prayer, everything that I have achieved, though I haven't achieved much, has been in Christ. It has been in the name of Jesus. Some people can find success without God. Some people can be fruitful apart from Christ. I'm not one of them. I never have been. I never will be. I was consigned to failure in this world so that I might taste success in the one to come. The only one that matters. The only one that lasts. Jesus said that no one can bear fruit, that no one can do anything of worth without Him. He may not have been talking about you when He said this, but He was definitely talking about me. All becoming finds its fulfillment in Him. This is why becoming can never be an end in itself. He Himself, Christ Jesus, is the end. To reach that end, to attain Christ, is to reach the end of all being. This is what I'm learning. I must abide in Him, that He might abide in me. I hope you have learned something too. I hope, like me, you're striving to become something more. I hope we reach the same end. I hope that we wash up on the same shore.